for this.
Well, you know, the whole thing is just corrupt. And as long as you participate in the process, you are a part of the problem and not part of the solution.
Participate.
Yeah, by
patriots
voting.
Patriots participate. Be a patriot. Get involved.
Yeah.
You know, get involved and let's wrestle this damn voting system back from these bastards. We can't lay down and have them take everything. Man, these guys are going for the... They're shooting the moon, Bob, and they're not... You know, they flat out wrote about it and tell us.
The person is Joel Hirshhorn.
Well, Joel, man.
He's an author of something called Delusional Democracy, Fixing the Republic Without Overthrowing the Government, and a former senior official at the Congressional Office of Technology Assessment and the National Governors Association. And he is saying that after many years of political disappointment, more progressives, liberals, and conservatives, and certainly moderates and independents, know in their hearts that voting for Democrats or Republicans is a waste. Just imagine if voter turnout was cut to 25% or less. Let the whole world see Americans boycotting a broken and corrupt political system and rejecting what has become a delusional democracy. To keep voting in an unjust political system makes us willing political slaves that the rich and powerful elites exploit. Now,
well, I got problems
with that. Yeah,
you know, and there's the whole point is to keep people from voting, you know.
I thought that's what the voting machines were about. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have to stop talking about it and fight back. I mean, there's nobody who's going to come save the day, and that's what's wrong with the American people. And you know, we got to fight, man. This country was started on people pledging their, you know, risking their lives, man, to break away from an imperialistic King George. Damn it, we're running out of time. They've given us their plan. You know, Clinton is in with them, Bob. We gotta get, you know, God bless Kucinich for interjecting. We gotta tell people about Kucinich, you know, and because the media is not, and the, if we got 12 months left, and if we take these every day and every month that we're talking about how the media is not giving us attention, instead of taking that time and being the media ourselves, I mean, we're running out of time, man. And nobody's going to do it for us. Turn off your damn TV. Get rid of the cable. You know, it ain't that important. You can get your information from the internet. You know, quit your cable subscription and go to the Head-On Radio Network homepage and click on one of them damn PayPal buttons, so that we can get the truth out, you know. If you got a few extra bucks, buy a ream of paper. What is it, $3-4? And buy a cartridge of toner and print up some flyers that tell the truth, man. And get out and pass them out. Stick them in the postage paid return envelopes from your junk mail. There's so many ways we can be the truth, and we have to be, man. We have to be, Bob. I mean, this ain't play around, man.
I know it's no. This is deadly serious. And when you've got human beings out there, Phil, saying things like "I hate all Iranians," you get an idea of how steep the uphill climb is that we're facing.
You know what bothers me or worries me more than this ding dong saying "I hate Iranians" is the fact that these candidates are being presented to the people as the front runners. You know, they're dictating to us who our choices are. Tim Russert works for NBC. NBC is owned by General Electric. All these reporters, Bob, could have everybody, every one of this whole, the people that are in Hillary Clinton, all the Congress people, all the senators, any one of them could have prevented this damn invasion had they spoken up. All these people with their books, you know, Tenet came out with his book and basically said that, you know, there was no weapons of mass destruction. He caved in to Cheney. And, you know, why the heck aren't the police officers hauling Cheney and Bush right to jail? That's what I mean. We can't, we've got to disengage from this mainstream media. Who the hell cares? I mean, really, how important is this comment? You know, how important is it? It's not. It's important to them for them to have us talk about it instead of taking this 24-hour period we could have been using our energy to tell someone about the PNAC, you know, and how their plan
has always been to invade Iran. Isn't it part and parcel of the same thing?
No.
When we talk about PNAC and we talk about the evil that these people are capable of, when you've got people out there saying things like, I hate all Iranians,
I disagree,
Bob, because that's PNAC stuff.
I disagree because saying the PNAC people are evil is the same thing as saying the woman is evil. What I'm saying is that we have to tell people that Cheney and Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz and Abrams, we've got to identify the characters for them. We have to be the media, you see. We have to let them know about the plan. We have to show them how Iraq was according to their plan, how these permanent bases were according to the plan, and how Iran and Syria are on plan and that they're running out of time. And we have to show that the PNAC guys were also the same guys in the White House Iraq group, Douglas Feith. We have to educate our fellows. You know, just saying that PNACs are a bunch of evil people and this person's another evil person does not educate our fellows. And once our fellows are educated, they can educate someone else. Otherwise, we're just still sitting down here saying they're evil, you know, and all we got to choose from is Hillary. You know, we've got to educate our fellows. With knowledge, there's power, and we're really up against it, and these people are not going to release their power. They're not going to all of a sudden say, you know, we've done enough damage. We'll be nice guys now. Man, they have a plan.
No, they don't. They don't quit. And you know, I saw a reference to Norman Podhoretz, Podhoretz, whatever. You know, and he said, you know, they call him the godfather of the neocon movement, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
And mentioned the fact that he had a private tete-a-tete with George Bush recently, in which he practically got on bended knee and begged Bush to bomb Iran.
This is serious stuff, and you got Barack Obama, you got Hillary Clinton, you got, I mean, forget about the crazy Republicans, and you got Ron Paul on the Republican side who's wants the troops out, and I think people need to pay attention to this guy and not just, you know, he's got a legislation he introduced, and Kucinich is a co-sponsor, you know, that these guys are proposing things that could actually stop these PNAC neocons, and they're talking about their plan, they're talking about impeachment,
we already know
that these Bush people are evil, and we don't have time to, we have a choice with what to do with our limited amount of time, and we have a few people out there, Ron Paul, Kucinich, you know, and don't get hung up on a couple of issues to blind you from looking at everything else that's going on. These guys are actually presenting ways to throw a wrench in the
Has Ron Paul signed on to impeachment yet? Has he co-sponsored Kucinich's impeachment bill?
No, and I think I know I can offer what I would think the reason why not. He's running for president as a Republican, and that would be a death sentence for him, you know. And that's what I mean. There's also politics here. So he's proposing a bill to end the war. Kucinich, you know, the guy needs to be impeached, the Bush and Cheney. But in order to stop this madness, stop this occupation and the war, you got to remove these guys from power. And there's no guarantee there's going to be a 2008 election. You know, these guys might keep just running the table, man.
Yeah, well, that was sort of where I was going a little bit ago when I mentioned the Joel Hirshhorn article to you, Phil. We may not, you know, Mr. Hirshhorn may not have to boycott voting, because the Bush administration by November 2008 may very well have boycotted his ability to vote.
But we can't. We have got to fight and keep that possibility as small as we possibly can make it. We've got to, you know.
Phil, I got to ask you a serious question. Given the stuff that we heard out of that debate the other night.
Yes.
If on national security grounds, and this is strictly speculative, I understand that. But if the Bush administration said, you know, we've had a major terrorist attack, or we expect a major terrorist attack on Election Day, and, you know, we just can't have the vote. We'll have one as soon as it is practicable. Given what we heard in the Democratic debate the other night, what do you think the response from a Hillary, a Senator Clinton, I hate calling her Hillary, she is at least a senator. What do you think the response would be from Senator Clinton, Senator Obama, and that
I
crowd?
Think it would be the same facade, whatever. And if that is the case, it, believe you me, it would have Hillary and Obama and all them would have already been consulted and in on the deal.
Wow.
I really believe that. There's Bob. They're owned, man. They're owned by the military-industrial complex. You know, that's what I was telling you before. We can't even worry about domestic policies. We got to get our damn republic back, man. It really is stolen from us, and these guys are just getting even more and more bold-faced about it.
Well, I've got an email here, Phil, from our friend Marty. And Marty says, as much as I enjoy Phil's passion when he calls and speaks, I must inform you and therefore him, that there are people who should be on our side but are not because they're enjoying it. He said, when I first read Kagan's words, I heard my cousin talking. There are people who dig this stuff.
What, the warmongering? Yeah, man.
I mean, whether it's inherent bigotry, inherent racism, whether it's xenophobia, or whether it's the profit margin, or for instance...
You know what it is, Bob? I'm down here in Daytona Beach, Florida, and it's the people who put the number 3 on their cars, but they're not the actual guy driving car number 3. It's the people who wear the New England Patriots football jersey number 12 and sit on the couch and watch the football game and go, yeah, you know. And so when nuke them, let's nuke them, you know. It's almost the same thing
here's a classic example. Toby Keith.
Yes.
You know, he wrote that song courtesy of the U.S. of A., where he said he was going to, if you mess with us, we'll put a boot in your ass.
Yeah.
Well, now he's come out and he says he's against the war. And he's been a Democrat all his life. He wasn't writing nothing for George Bush. He wasn't trying to be doing it. He wasn't trying to be used or anything like that. He's just writing a song.
Well, you know,
but you know what? The
America probably went down a little bit. His record sales.
But if you go back, Phil.
Yes.
If you go back and you read Mark Twain's The War Prayer, I was reminded of this by another emailer the other night. Go back and read Mark Twain's The War Prayer. Nothing has changed, okay? He wrote the horrors we were perpetrating in the Philippines toward the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th. And yes. he documents the same jingoistic marching up and down the street, brass bands playing, "Hoo boy, we gonna go kill us some brown people" attitude, yes. that was at the forefront of the Iraq run up. There are institutional, cultural, sociologic problems inside the American psyche, zeitgeist, whatever you want to call it, okay? We like jumping little people.
Yes, and the for those of us who are in the know and understand that, it is we're the last ones in line, man. We can't pass and pass it on to someone else and think they're going to deal with it.
You know, our national symbol is the bald eagle, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I would guarantee that probably 99 out of 100 or 999 out of 1,000 American school children do not know that the American bald eagle never attacks anything its own size and prefers to prey upon dead carcasses as opposed to having to actually fight something.
Whatever, you know.
No, I mean, it's not whatever, Phil. I'm trying to make a point here. I said school children.
That the American Eagle is not a bully. And what we're doing is...
No, the American Eagle is a bully.
Is the bully. Okay.
You know, there's a reason that Benjamin Franklin suggested the American wild turkey as opposed to the American Eagle. I know this may sound a little bit extraneous or a little bit crazy on my part, but the fact of the matter is adults or children don't know that, okay? And they don't know that that's how we are behaving as well. And they
it's ignorance, and that's why I'm saying we're running out of time. We have to educate our fellows to what is going on right now, and who the players are, what their plan was and is, demonstrate to them how Iraq was carried out as, you know, pretty much to plan, and how they're right now in position to do the second or third, whatever stage you want to call it, which is, in, you know, attack Iran and Syria, and Israel is part of the plan, you know, and we've got to identify these people and tell them about the new Pentagon Papers. Karen Kotowski, she wrote that in the fall of 2003, I believe it was.
Yeah.
She was the whistleblower for the White House.
But what I'm trying to get across, Phil, you talk about we've got to educate people, and I don't disagree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. We make that effort toward education. We must not. We must do it unceasingly. We must do it without flagging or failing. But please understand the uphill climb. Okay.
That's what I mean. That's my sense of urgency.
That is your sense of urgency, but
yeah.
I'm not trying to, you know, pee on anybody's cornflakes, but it's possible that we may not be able to do it.
And that would make me...
And that means fiery death reigns on Iran. That means that Iraq does go on until 2013.
And if that happens and we haven't done everything we possibly can, and that's everyone listening to this conversation right now, then the blood is on our hands if we haven't done everything we possibly can. Do you see what I mean, Bob?
Yeah,
Americans,
I do. I'm not fighting with you, Phil.
No, but I mean I'm talking about Americans are, you know, we got to stop being analysts, man, and stop waiting for orders from above on what to do. So many Americans we're conditioned, man, to be told what to do. We've got to do something, you know. I talked to the checkout girl in the grocery store. I was in the post office today saying, you know, doing my 9/11 truth stuff. Whatever it is, get the truth out. Get some facts out, common sense stuff. Hey, you know, I heard the debate the other night. Did you know Hillary Clinton is she's for bombing Iran? You know, and she said it. You know, she said it. She'd consider bombing Iran. And guess what? she said she wouldn't be able to say it, that she'd have the troops out of Iraq by 2013. And then guess what? Obama and Edwards said the same thing when they asked him. Oh, my, you know, because not everybody watched the debates. And if I'm in the grocery store, the line at the post office saying this, there's people overhearing it. We've got to do this kind of be in the media. It doesn't have to be a 40-minute presentation. You can just say it like I just did. You know, oh, hey, did you ever hear of this project for the new American century? No, what? I said, yeah, it was started by Cheney and Rumsfeld and some of these other guys that are beating the drums for my Iran right now. Yeah, yeah, they wrote a plan in September of 2000 that said exactly how they were going to invade Iraq, set up these permanent bases, and then invade Iran and Syria. This had nothing to do with 9/11 and the terror. Really? Yeah, this whole terrorism story, it's a bunch of bull. You know, they're keeping everybody all uptight. You know, and it's a use common sense. If they really were going to fight us over here instead of over there, don't you think they'd be walking through the Mexican border with the 10,000 Mexicans every day by now? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do.
You know, common sense kind of stuff. And you can have these conversations because right now, for every day, these people that also are standing in the grocery store line or the post office or the gas pump, they go home and they turn on the TV and they listen to what the TV says, Bob. We got to take advantage of every minute to counter that. Because
wow.
People are going to elect Hillary. It's already a done deal, but we do have a chance if we get out there and vote for somebody else, like Kucinich or something. You know, do you know this guy? So many people don't even know who he is.
I know.
You know, and they don't, let alone know that he has a legislation to impeach Cheney. And then if you tell the people that there's actually proof that are grounds for Cheney's impeachment, you know, when you can say, you know, whatever, you know, a couple of few things that, yeah, he was on record of weapons of mass destruction, and they knew 12 days ahead of time that there wasn't, and he still went out and said it anyway, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
They said, man, what could be more impeachable than that? And the person has to think, yeah, you're right. I said, did you know there's already a congressman in Congress? You don't hear about it too much, but his name is Dennis Kucinich, and he's got a bill, but not enough people are talking about it, so that they're not doing anything. I said, yeah, we could actually stop this war. If people get behind this guy Kucinich, you should tell your husband when you get home. You know, you see what I mean, Bob?
Yeah, I do. Phil, thank you very much. I'm gonna roll
I'm
on
sorry,
here.
Sorry, Bob.
No. Don't apologize for your passion. Don't apologize for your commitment. I certainly wouldn't expect you to. I'm proud of it. I'm motivated by it. I admire it. I reverence
Hopefully, more of us will turn off the TV and we really are so close to losing it all, Bob.
Yeah.
And we do have it. The bell hasn't run yet, you know. The time.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't. But you know, I feel like I've seen this movie before, Phil. And I hate to start out the week on a grim note, but I don't know. Every morning that we wake up and the bombs haven't rained on Iran is a morning when I guess we've had a little bit of a victory.
Or a little bit of luck, Bob.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, I ascribe to the Edison theory. I'm a great believer in luck, and I find the harder I work, the more I have of it.
Yeah, well, let's keep working at it. You know, we really are running out of time, and people... You know, this conversation we just had, it was chock full of ideas on what you can do, and it doesn't cost money, it doesn't cost time, you're going to stand in line at the grocery store anyway. You know, you can do more than you're doing now. We have to do more than what we're doing now.
All right, I thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Bob.
You take care now.
You too. Good night.
Bye. All right. Well, so much for that top of the hour news break. Still, we'll let's keep it rolling here. We've got another call in line. Maybe. Let's see if they hung. Hey, who've I got?
Hello there.
Well, hey, what's going on, David?
This would be, you know what it is. And for those people who don't know, this is Dave from Maine.
David from Maine, absolutely. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. To go.
The Head on Radio Network pop culture correspondent.
Oh, what's that?
The Head on Radio Network pop culture correspondent.
Oh, yes, yes. And speaking of that, I saw a great documentary that I recommend to everyone. It's called Shadow Company.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard about it.
Nope, haven't.
It's about the private military, and it's such a... I'll send it to you, Bob, but it's so... It's so measured with its words and everything that they put together. It's really interesting how they explain the logistics of the operations. And here's something that's important that a lot of people don't realize: it's not when you mention the term mercenary, and when you mention that they're just mercenaries, they're just killers, and you demonize it to a certain level, you're going to turn off people. But what it does with this documentary is it explains why they're exactly there, the bad, the good, and just everything to it. The people that they talk to, the people that work there, they talk to the CEOs. It's really, Bob, I got to tell you, it's probably one of the best documentaries I've seen this year.
Wow.
I recommend it in 90 minutes, and it's all you need to really watch. It's worth every minute watching it.
Well, cool. I look forward to seeing it then.
Yeah. Now, as far as what Phil was saying, I have something to comment on that. One of the things that I wanted to talk about was kind of like on the same lines where you... I didn't actually hear the comment of Deborah Kagan saying that. So if someone says in the press, Bob says he hates Elmo and Sesame Street and thinks they're all fags. You know?
Yeah, okay. And, no, I get your point.
I know. Am I supposed to leap and say, why would Bob say that? That's awful. But I and then there's no...
Okay,
there's
there's a lot of stuff that we don't actually hear said. But in this particular story, David, you have confirmation by several members of the British Parliament.
I understand that, Bob, but at the same time, everyone has their moments, and I don't expect anything less from it, I guess. And I guess it's a, you know, it's similar to...
Well, let's look at it from an analytical standpoint, David.
Okay.
If you've got those three members of the British Parliament who confirmed it, okay, if they're all three sitting in the same room and you ask them the question at the same time and they go, she definitely said it, that is different than calling them up on the phone one by one and having them each independently confirm it. When you've got three independent confirmations versus one denial by somebody who wasn't in the room, i.e., mm-hmm. the Pentagon spokesman,
yeah.
Then I think you're, you know, it's a reliability issue. Then I think the statement becomes a little bit more reliable.
I know, but I guess it gets into the allegation he said, she said, and after a while, it's like, I mean. I don't know the.
But that's kind of where we've been led over the last several years, David. Is that, you know, and it's borne out in a number of ways. For instance, if you have 2 million anti-war protesters in Washington D.C. and 50 freepers, the news will say pro-war and anti-war forces were both represented during the protests in Washington today. Okay, when it's clear that there was a vast majority. And it's a sort of bogus equivocation, if you know what I mean.
Right. And, you know, it's similar to... Did you hear what Harry Reid did today?
No.
He blasted Rush Limbaugh on the floor.
Well, I knew some of that was coming because Mark Udall, Democrat from Colorado, was going to, or said he was going to, introduce a resolution condemning Rush Limbaugh in the House of Representatives. I didn't know that Harry had blasted him, too. Of course, the thing is... I have mixed feelings about doing that on the floor of the Congress because I don't think the move on resolution had any business there either.
Oh, I agree with you. I think
and the other thing that that our side doesn't understand about the right wing is that a long, long time ago, a fella taught me a very important lesson about speaking to the press, and it was actually when I was a journalist, and he was trying to explain to me the power of the press, and he said, son, you never get in a war with a man who buys ink by the barrel.
Mm.
Okay? And the same thing applies to you don't get in a war with a guy who has 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and at best you've got 20 seconds on the evening news. Because he will bury your ass. Okay? So, you know, the short version of that also, David, is the more you stir it, the more it stinks.
I agree completely with that. And I think part of the problem is they don't realize that Rush, he lives for the conflict, and there has to be this competitive, unfair playing field.
Well, his numbers, his numbers,
a phone just shouting and saying, "This is what they said," and just going all over the place.
Well, sure, and you got to understand, the other rule is there is no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah, that's true too.
So what you've got is, I mean, it's a known fact. Rush Limbaugh's numbers are and have been declining.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so when you've got Reed doing this and you've got, you know, somebody in the House doing it, you're buying listeners for the guy.
I think, you know, I think Media Matters is when they get into something with Rush, I'm not saying it's worth it to go to this to take it to the floor and to have your senators and congressmen condemn them. I think if you can't exactly explain the explain the proper context of what Rush was saying, and you just dig yourself in a hole, and that's
that's where the Congress is concerned. What Media Matters did was not necessarily geared toward getting Congress to pass a resolution or something.
But I'm saying after a while, when it concerns a comment like phony soldiers, I mean,
you know, what people should do with that. And what I think Media Matters is trying to do with that is get news outlets to, A, pick it up, B, for people who hear it and are offended by it, take direct action. I mean, I remember, never mind. Okay, look at it this way. You go and you find out who advertises on Flush Flemball's program.
Yeah.
And you contact them. And you say, I don't care if you make the best damn product, the best widget, the best steel building, the best herbal erection medicine. I don't care if you make the best of it in the world. I won't have anything to do with it because you advertise it on that filthy bastard's program.
Right.
That is what these people pay attention to, because please understand the nature of right-wing radio. It's a little bit about the ideology, but it's mostly about the audience reach. Advertisers will advertise with a company that reaches people. It doesn't matter if they're talking about cars, cows, or, you know, you get the idea. I mean, if I've got Rush Limbaugh's audience, supposedly 5 million people a day, if I've got 5 million people a day listening to me, and I get on the air every single day and I recite for 3 hours the Canterbury Tales in Middle English, and 5 million people are listening to me, then advertisers want to be on my show, regardless of content. Okay, it has to be made impracticable for them to continue trying to reach the 5 million if they know that significant portions of the 5 million are getting fed up. Now, obviously, this is having some impact on Limbaugh, because the follow-up to the story, David, is that he had to dummy up his website over this. Okay?
They changed part of the text.
Well, they edited it.
The transcript.
And they edited the transcript, and they edited the audio. So that now he says he wasn't talking about just, you know, he wasn't saying it was phony soldiers who didn't support, who didn't believe the war was just. He was only talking about one phony soldier.
You know what's scary? Representative Kingston actually put an amendment forward in favor of Limbaugh, and he explained how he supported the troops. If you read it, you'll just laugh. You'll be like, I can't believe that an ass actually put together like a whole letter. It's like 10 paragraphs, and you're like, he doesn't do any of this. And you're like, oh, my God.
I know.
And the other thing that I was going to mention was I've been talking to some conservatives lately, and I think this will help people understand the conservative mindset a little bit if I explain it in these terms. It's when you say something and you say something with logic and something and you state your case succinctly and you put it together cohesively, it doesn't matter, because the problem is in some ways it's like saying to someone's that you know someone's kid is a murderer and he's murdered someone, and it's like saying the parent doesn't want to believe it. It's similar in that respect. That's how closely it's almost like loving a child or something with that kind of philosophy. That's how tied people are to it, and I understand why they don't bend to the liberal and the progressive ideology, because it's a hard place to be in, Bob, because immediately you have to just like let go of everything that you were told, that you believe in your heart and your mind and with every fiber of yourself, because you want to be right so badly.
I know. No, it's a tough tightrope.
And that's what I mean, and that's why I think people should have a bit of a, you know, that's what I get from talking to this guy, from talking to these people. I mean, this is what they believe in, and this is what they were told all this time. And I look at on the other side. I look at not to be arrogant or anything, but I look on the other side, and I'm like, what would I do? Would I give in completely and say, you know what, you're right? No, I probably fight for what I believe in, and I probably fight. Even if I was wrong in a lot of instances, and I've done that as a kid, many, many times. We all have. So I think people should consider that next time they talk to a conservative, and realize that, you know, just think about that if they believe this ideology, just like their child, they're not just going to, they can't just go over and say, you know what, he's a murderer. They're going to love it regardless, I guess.
Well. Some of these people, you know, it's like I said early on, it's like that old Nahuatl word, the difference between harmlessly crazy and dangerously insane. These people are dangerously insane.
Oh, that's true. But what I'm talking about the walking, talking conservative on the street. Not the people in office per se.
Yeah, but the walking, talking conservative on the street, if you find yourself really getting into it with them, you'll find that all you're getting is like listening to a playback of O'Reilly or Rush or Hannity. They can't process their own facts. They repeat talking points.
I won't generalize to that degree, but I'll say some can't and some can. The one thing that I noticed though is that. I say this to the listeners. These people need this, and I know people don't understand that, but they need this. If they're having a rough day, and they're having everything go wrong for them, and their life's not going according to plan, and they're following the playbook, and it's not happening like it says.
Right. There's a psychological dynamic involved with middle class conservatism that'll just make you scream.
It's like an alcoholic or a drug addict. You know. It's like when someone, you know, I saw this thing on The Wire, the show The Wire, and Steve Earle was around the projects in Baltimore, and one of the bums comes up to him and goes, hey, you want some of those yellows and blacks? He goes, I'll get some for you. And he's like, no, I'm not here. I'm not here for that. I'm here for my cousin. He goes, you see, he needs to wait until he... I'm just watching over him for the family. He needs to bottom out. He hasn't hit his bottom yet. Might be 7 or 8 more years before he hits his bottom. And then he asked the guy, so what age are you? And then the guy really looked around and he realized the point that he was making. And that's like, I guess that's what I'm really saying, is that people are mainlining this ideology and you got to wait till the bottom hits. As sad to say as it is, that's
no, but
the
Jesus,
way it is.
That bottom is a scary place, David, because they're going to take
know,
us all with
us. I know, but that's the way it's going to have to be. For people to...
Yeah, I know.
You know, that's the way it is. You can't just take an alcoholic or a drug addict and say, no, don't, no. I mean, they just have to experience it for themselves.
I know. Well, I'll tell you what, David, I'm going to roll on, and we're going to hit this Rush audio and let people hear it for themselves.
All right, Bob.
All right, you take it easy, David.
Later.
Have a good night. our good friend David in Maine and our pop culture correspondent. I really am. I'm kind of... I would far prefer to see newspapers, radio talkers, news reporters on television, whatever, exposing this Rush garbage than seeing Democrats in the Senate and House wasting legislative time to condemn it for a very good reason. We're better than the sons of bitches are. And by sons of bitches, I mean Republicans. Okay? And it's going to be, you got to understand, the right wing controls most of electronic media, so it will be played as a tit for tat for the move on. Well, there was the move on resolution, so they got to have something to balance it with. No. That's not what it's about at all. It is about, but you know what it's about, don't you? Okay, here's the original audio. I think I've got it queued up to the right place. If I don't, I'll back it up. This is the original Rush Limbaugh audio, okay? This is a setup. He's with a caller, and he explains the phony soldiers comment.
Hi, Rush. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a retort to Mike in Chicago, because I am a serving American military in the Army. I've been serving for 14 years, very proudly.
Thank you, sir.
I'm one of the few that joined the Army to serve my country. I'm proud to say, not for the money or anything like that. What I would like to retort to is that...
Not for the money or anything like that. Could this be a setup call?
What these people don't understand is if we pull out of Iraq right now, which is about impossible because of all the stuff that's over there, it'd take us at least a year to pull everything back out of Iraq, then Iraq itself would collapse, and we'd have to go right back over there within a year or so.
There's a lot more than that that they don't understand. They can't even... If a next guy that calls here, I'm going to ask him, why should we pull... What is the imperative of pulling out? What's in it for the United States to pull out? I don't think they have an answer for that other than, well, you've got to bring the troops home. Keep the troops safe, whatever.
Now, just for a moment. How about so that we don't utterly destroy our military? I'm a liberal and progressive, and remember, you know, we all hate the military, right? Jesus.
It's not possible intellectually to follow these people.
No, it's not. And what's really funny is they never talk to real soldiers. They like to pull these soldiers to come up out of the blue and spout to the media.
The phony soldiers.
If you talk to a real soldier, they're proud to serve. They want to be over in Iraq. They understand their sacrifice, and they're willing to sacrifice for the country.
They joined to be in Iraq. You know where you're going these days, the last 4 years, if you sign up. The odds are you're going there or Afghanistan or somewhere.
Exactly, sir.
Okay. Now, I didn't monkey with that audio. That's the phone call. That's the exchange. That's the phony soldier exchange. Now, let's see what happened to it.
I was not talking, as Contessa Brewer said here, about the anti-war movement generally. I was talking about one soldier with that phony soldier comment, Jesse Macbeth. They had exactly what I'm going to play for you. This is Michael J. Fox all over again. Media Matters had the transcript, but they selectively choose what they want to make their point. Here is, runs about 3 minutes and 13 seconds, the entire transcript in context that led to this so-called controversy. It's not possible intellectually to follow these people.
No, it's not. And what's really funny is they never talk to...
Now, wait, okay? Please, wait. This is the same thing you just heard. Pay attention. See where it's been dummied up.
Real soldiers. They like to pull these soldiers to come up out of the blue and spout to the media.
The phony soldiers.
If you talk to a real soldier, they are proud to serve. They want to be over in Iraq. They understand their sacrifice, and they're willing to sacrifice for the country.
They joined to be in Iraq.
It's
frustrating and maddening. It's why they must be kept in the minority. I want to thank you, Mike.
Holy cow! Did you catch that? Okay, let's I don't know, this is a little bit like the JFK movie. Down and to the left. Down and to the left. Let's back up here. All right, let's. I'm doing this on the fly, so it's a little bit complicated, but.
I was not talking as a Contessa Brewer.
Like to pull these soldiers to come up out of the blue and stop the minions.
The phony soldiers.
If you talk to a real soldier, they are proud to serve. They want to be over in Iraq. They understand their sacrifice, and they're willing to sacrifice.
Getting this?
They joined to be in Iraq. They
a lot
joined.
Of them.
Well, I mean, it's frustrating and maddening, isn't it?
They joined to be in Iraq. They joined to be in Iraq, and then bang, it's frustrating and maddening. Okay? You got it? So let's go to there.
They want to be over in Iraq. They understand their sacrifice, and they're willing to sacrifice for the country.
They joined to be in Iraq. They
a lot
joined
of them.
Well, I mean, you know where you're going these days, the last 4 years, if you sign up. The odds are you're going there or Afghanistan or somewhere.
Okay. They joined to be in Iraq. They joined. They know where they're going. Okay. All right. Now, let's see. And back this up just a hair. Here's the same clip again. Down and to the right. Down and to the right.
If not, and what's really funny is they never talk to real soldiers. They like to pull these soldiers to come up out of the blue and stop the minions.
The phony soldiers.
If you talk to a real soldier, they are proud to serve. They want to be over in Iraq. They understand their sacrifice, and they're willing to sacrifice for the country.
They joined to be in Iraq. They
a lot
joined.
Of them.
Well, I mean, it's frustrating and maddening, and it's why they must be kept in the minority. I want to thank you, Mike, for calling.
It's frustrating and it's maddening, and it's why they must be kept in the majority, in the minority. Let's try this again. Down and to
they
the
want
right.
to be over in Iraq. They understand their sacrifice, and they're willing to sacrifice for the country.
They joined to be in Iraq. They
a lot
joined.
Of them.
Well, I mean, you know where you're going these days, the last 4 years, if you sign up. The odds are you're going there, or Afghanistan, or somewhere.
Exactly, sir.
Got that? Where is that? Let's do this again. Where is it? Where's the you know where you're going?
They want to be over in Iraq. They understand their sacrifice, and they're willing to sacrifice for the country.
They joined to be in Iraq. They
a lot
joined.
Of them.
Well, I mean, it's frustrating and maddening, and it's why they must be kept in the minority.
Holy cow. Holy cow. Do you get an idea? I mean, whether you listen to me or Malloy or anybody else on this network, or whether it's Randy Rhodes or even Ed Schultz, Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, they will tell you that Rush Limbaugh has a very, very low opinion of his listeners. I just proved it to you. Through the good graces of the folks at Media Matters, I just proved it to you. Did you? I don't know. Maybe it's more obvious to me because this is the kind of thing that I kind of do every day, is pay attention to audio. Did you catch that? Okay? Did you catch that?
Sir, they want to be over in Iraq. They understand their sacrifice, and they're willing to sacrifice for the country.
They joined to be in Iraq. They
a lot
joined.
Of them.
Well, I mean, it's frustrating and maddening, and it's why they must be kept in the minority.
It doesn't exist in the original. It just doesn't exist. We can go back to the original. Right there. Okay.
You know where you're going these days, the last 4 years, if you sign up. The odds are you're going there, or Afghanistan, or somewhere.
Exactly, sir.
That's all there is to it. You know you're going to Afghanistan or somewhere. Exactly, sir.
And they're willing to sacrifice for the country.
They joined to be in Iraq. They
a lot
joined.
Of them.
Well, I mean, it's frustrating and maddening, and it's why they must be kept in the minority. I want to thank you, Mike, for calling. I appreciate it very much. Here is a morning update that we did recently talking about fake soldiers.
So the whole setup there is to edit that soundbite to go in and say that he was actually talking about someone by the name of Jesse Macbeth, and to thereby justify and say, I wasn't talking about all the soldiers, that was the pimple on my hind end talking. My friends, I love the soldiers, especially big... Well, never mind. God. So, let's move a little further into the piece.
Frank Pallone, Democrats and Senators, plus the Kerry statement that I read to you. All that coming up right after this. Another mic, this one in Olympia, Washington. Welcome to the EIB Network. Hello.
Hi, Rich. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a retort to Mike in Chicago, because I am a serving American military in the Army.
Okay, this is that clip again. Have I beaten this horse half to death? You get it? Do you see what the right wing thinks of his own listeners? By the way, they edited the transcript on his website too. You know, because after all, like he bills himself, he's America's truth detector. He just doesn't tell it. When he detects the truth, he makes sure that the truth gets nowhere near his program. Supposedly, 5 million people per week, per day. The same 5 million every day. And they take what he says and they run with it. And, you know, our good friend Mark Levine asked me about the right-wing attitudes and middle-class people. Middle-class people who buy into right-wing ideas. What choice do they have? What choice do they have? How many progressive talkers are there out there who can call Flush Flimball on his BS that reach into automobile radios in Huntsville, Alabama, in Rome, Georgia, in Asheville, North Carolina, in Cleveland, Tennessee, in Fort Smith, Arkansas, in Bossier City, Louisiana? How many are there? Come on, do the math quick. It won't take you long. It's pretty damned easy. None! There's nobody to call them on it, so they get away with it. And I guess to a certain extent, this is some of what Phil was talking about. It's incumbent upon you. It's incumbent upon me. It's why I'm here every night. It's why the whole blessed head-on radio network, the Horn, it's why it exists. It's why there is a Media Matters. It's why there's a Center for American Progress. Because if not us, who? If not now, when? Do you see? Of course you do. Oh, Jesus. This is hard on the soul. It truly is hard on the soul to know that this guy's going to get away with it. I don't want resolutions in the Congress. I'm sorry, I just don't. You know, you have your opinion, I have mine. But if I'm going to sit here night after night and I'm going to talk about wastes of the people's time, if, as I did, get behind the microphone and tell you that the House of Representatives debating horse meat is a waste of the people's time, if, as I did, I get behind the microphone and tell you that debating whether or not the brain of Terry Schiavo was the size of a walnut surrounded by Jell-O is a waste of the people's time, then I am obligated to say the same thing about the meaningless resolutions in the United States Congress about whether or not Rush Limbaugh is a dick. In the legal world, that would be, asked and answered? We know it. Everybody in their right mind knows what a jerk Jeff Christie, Flush Flimball, Rusty Limbaugh is. He's a junkie. whether he's a recovering junkie or a non-recover or a junkie on the junk, we don't know. But he's a junkie. And he's also a liar. He's any number of things. He's awash in the blood of human beings, what be they Iraqis or Americans. We know all these things, you and I. What is the point of Harry Reid doing battle with a man who buys electrons by the billions? Harry Reid gets 15 seconds, Flush Flimball gets 3 hours a day to ride Harry Reid like a borrowed mule. Who wins that fight? Now, the difference comes when you get busy. The difference comes when you contact, you know, General Steele or Snapple or whoever the hell's advertising with him these days. Because you vote with your wallet. The power of the purse, as it is called. So, you see it there. I mean, that's brazen. That's the little kid standing by the cookie jar, and the cookie jar's in a million pieces on the floor. And Mama says, "Did you break the cookie jar, son?" "No, Mother, it was the liberals. Godless liberals broke the cookie jar. I merely was here to conserve the cookies that were in the cookie jar when the cookie jar struck the floor." Well, where are these liberals? Well, being liberals, they have disappeared and they won't own up for their own actions. Thank God for me, Mother, because as a conservative, thanks to me, we still have some cookies. Well, son, we can't eat the cookies now because they've got broken cookie jar all over them. That is not my problem, Mother. At least I saved the cookies. Get away with murder. Get away with murder. Now, I mean, do you disagree? Do you feel like you want Harry Reid to go to full-blown committee hearings or Representative Mark Udall in Colorado? Do you want C-SPAN coverage of day three, Rush Limbaugh is a walking penis? Do you want that? And then, of course, you know, the right wing's so much better at this than we are. They come back, why is the Democratic majority persecuting poor old Rush Limbaugh, and there he is trying to recover from a drug addiction? Why, he's a hero for American backbone. He lifted himself up by his bootstraps and got over that evil OxyContin junk. You want that? I mean, it's up to you. I mean, just tell me. You know the phone number, 304-658-5453 on your own nickel. Or 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Email rolls into bob@headonradio.com. It's all very, very easy. I don't know. Should I have left this alone? I can't, because this is the part of it where it matters. It doesn't matter what happens in the Congress. I mean, what are they going to do? Pass a law that says Rush Limbaugh's a jerk and then Bush vetoes it? You know, at best, it's a resolution that doesn't... It's meaningless. It's like dry humping. There's no point. Oh, boy. Thank God Agnes isn't back here for that one. That was a matter of opening my mouth and the bats flying out. But he's caught dead to rights. You see, more than the phony soldier's comment, the beauty of this is, now that we've caught him editing his own words, trying to make his words go away, trying to justify his sleazy, sleazy comments about soldiers fighting in Iraq, now we can bust him. Because now he's been proven once and for all to be a liar. But you'll notice how he played it. Oh, it's Michael J. Fox all over again. Well, yeah, Rush, it kind of is Michael J. Fox all over again, because in that particular instance, we had video of you mocking that man and his disease. We had video of you, Rush, shaking like a fundamentalist in an ecstasy of religious transportation, shaking, mocking a man with Parkinson's disease. It is just like the Michael J. Fox thing all over again, Rush, because all over again, you have proven, not we have proven, but you have proven yourself to be something approaching subhuman. And in so proving, you have proven our point about everything else that comes out of your mouth. Can you act on it? You know, can you stand to listen long enough? Listen to your local affiliate. You know, never mind the national advertisers. You know, wherever you live, find the Flimball thing and listen for a little bit, and you'll figure out what the local availabilities are versus the network ads. Screw the network ads. Call Fred's the Fred's Texaco or whatever down on the corner of State and Main. Free car wash on Friday. Hey, mega dittos from Fred's Texaco. You get up a handful of people, do a letter to the editor, and start letting Fred's Texaco know that, by God, you will not do business with them as long as his ads appear on Flush Flimball, and unless he denounces the crap that was said in his name during that time slot. Baby, you'll see action. The Swedish Mattress Company or the Bowling Ball Picking Up Vacuum Cleaner Company, one or two calls, not so much. Doesn't hurt to try, but you'll get real action if you call the advertisers on a local basis on a show like Limbaugh's. Because, among other things, the station, based on its size, is having to pay to run Limbaugh anyway. That's right. Most talk radio is done on a barter basis, but for Rush Limbaugh, baby, you pay. I think the little AM station I was affiliated with was paying something on the order of $4,000 or $5,000 a year to run Rush Limbaugh. And that's the fifth smallest radio market in America. What do you suppose they pay to run Rush in San Diego? Or Dallas? You get the point? Sure you do. All right, so it is news time. I roared through the first news break, but I'm not going to do it on the second one.